And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is looking at things differently. Each of my guests is helping us look at things in ways we never considered before. My next guest has been a journalist for more than two decades. He'll reveal the indisposable and unexpected lessons he learned from CEOs on how to lead and succeed from his book titled The Corner Office. And if you want to join in, ask a question, or just have a comment, you can call us at 639-0008. Adam Bryant is the deputy national editor of the New York Times, and he's been a journalist, as I said, for more than two decades. He was a business reporter for the New York Times during the 1990s, covering a variety of industries and topics. Adam joined Newsweek in 1999 as a senior writer and was promoted to business editor. After 6 years at Newsweek, he returned to the old gray lady, and he's been an editor in the business section ever since then. In March 2009, Adam started a weekly column titled The Corner Office, feature in the Sunday business section, and it quickly attracted a large number of loyal readers for its insights about leadership and management from prominent leaders. Adam lives in Westchester County, New York, with his wife and two daughters. Joining us from New York, hi, Adam. How are you today?
Good. Thanks, Billy, for having me on the show.
Well, it's our pleasure. We love having a thought leader, and it's particularly a senior editor for the New York Times on the show. But you set out to answer in your book one of the more fundamental questions: why do some people succeed better than others? And you gleaned your knowledge from interviews of over 70 CEOs in a variety of industries and companies. You broke the lessons down into three basic categories: succeeding, managing, and leading. So what important lessons did these CEOs provide for an economy like the one that we're experiencing right now, Adam?
Well, it is a tough economy, and I think for companies that are going to grow, they've really just got to get the most out of their people and create a high-performing, innovative culture. And I know that sounds easy. It may sound like a cliche, but it's true, because so many companies have cut to the bone and the economy is skidding along sideways. So it's really saying, how do I get the most out of the people? How do I create a high-performing culture, get that sort of extra bit of passion and commitment from people as they do their job? So it's not just I got to get a paycheck to put food on the table, that they really believe in what they're doing.
All right. Well, that sounds to me like it comes out of the category that you describe as leading, that you've got to lead your company to be a high-performance culture, which begs the bigger question: can a CEO be good at all three categories, succeeding, managing, and leading?
I think, maybe not in equal parts, but they have to be pretty decent at all three of them to get to the top job. And part of what I tried to accomplish through these interviews, and to be clear, I never ask them a single question about their company or strategy or stock performance or anything like that. It's really just asking them for insights and stories and lessons about their rise up through their organizations, what they look for in other people. And it was really through that I was able to get a sense of the five qualities that really set people apart, and if I can just run through them super quickly.
By all means.
Yeah, the first one is passionate curiosity, which is really a deep sense of engagement with the world. They're interested in people, interested in things, how things work, how they can be made better. Number two is battle-hardened confidence, which really speaks to having a track record of facing adversity and succeeding and figuring out how to succeed. People who have that track record just have that kind of quiet confidence, and they almost seek out the hot seat rather than running away from it. The third one is team smarts, which is sort of the organizational equivalent of street smarts, and we all know what that is. Just the neighborhood, how it works, who's really in charge, even if their titles don't reflect it. The fourth one is a simple mindset, which refers to the ability to really crystallize something that's very complicated into maybe one or two or three things. The best leaders say, okay, everybody, these are the three goals for the company this year. And I really don't think day-to-day people can remember more than three things. So the ability to kind of hone that message. And just finally, fearlessness, which is kind of a bias towards taking action in a company, calculated risks. Rather than somebody just saying, tell me what my job is and give me the report card, people who are fearless really, look for ways to improve things, even if it can be disruptive. Fearless people also take surprising career turns because they want to gain the experience rather than taking a traditional path up the career ladder.
We're talking to Adam Bryant, author of the book, The Corner Office, Indispensable and Unexpected Lessons from CEOs on How to Lead and How to Succeed. So those are the five cornerstones, if you will, for a CEO, the qualities that they must have. Let's start with the first one, passionate curiosity. Now, that's a term that you borrowed from somebody else. I forget now who. But talk to me about passionate curiosity. What exactly does that mean, and why does a CEO need to have it?
Sure, and I think just for context, it's important to point out that I've come to appreciate that CEOs kind of have split personalities, that to the business press, to the investor community, they really have to have all the answers. They're paid to be confident and have certainty and see around corners. So that's the face they present to the public. Inside their companies, it's much more about asking questions, and very often they're the kind of questions that a persistent six-year-old might ask, which is why are things done this way, and what about that, and can we do this? And rather than seeing themselves as having all the answers and everybody just runs around and executes them, they realize they have much more impact and much more power by asking simple questions. So I think that is a habit of mind. I mean, are you the kind of person who is always asking questions? And that's what, you know, passionate curiosity is. Whatever, if you're talking to somebody, do you want to understand them more, their stories? If you're in a setting, it's like, well, how does this thing work? Just trying to figure it out. And I think that habit of mind, that interest in everything, is something that makes the CEOs better and is really core to their job.
We're talking to Adam Bryant, and Adam, that begs the bigger question. For all of the CEOs that you interviewed, at what point in their careers did these CEOs recognize that they needed to change their roles from having all the answers, like you said they need to have for Wall Street and the investment community, to asking the right questions to those who do have the answers?
It's a great point. One of the chapters in my book is titled Type A to B, and I think a lot of these CEOs, to get to the corner office, have to be type A personalities, right? Incredibly focused, driven, ambitious. But once they get these top jobs, they realize, at least the ones I've interviewed, that it can't just be about them and that they have to become more type B personalities and to let the group emerge and to let leaders emerge from around the table and to really listen. This word listening just keeps coming up so much in the interviews. They recognize that the best ideas come from everywhere and that it's important for people to feel like they're being listened to. So it is a tough transition for these CEOs because they are so impatient and so driven. When they become CEOs, they have to be more patient. And that can be hard because the pace of business is only speeding up, right?
That is exactly right. And that brings me to one of my next questions. That is the average tenure for a CEO right now, either leaving voluntarily or involuntarily, is about 6.1 years. That's back in 2009, the most recent data that I could find from Forbes magazine. So is 6.1 years sufficiently long enough time, Adam, for a CEO to really accomplish the goals that they want for their company?
It's a tough question to answer. I mean, when I hear that that time frame, you know, getting a sense of these CEOs' lives in these kind of in-depth interviews with them, I'm sure that 6 years feels like a real long time because there are just so many demands on them. I mean, it is the best ones really do it as a 24/7 job, right? You know, I got to move myself to China for a month to really understand that local market. And they often talk about how they might have a sense of what the CEO's job is like, but actually getting the job, they're kind of overwhelmed by the responsibility, all the demands on their time, the intense scrutiny they have. One of them likened it to becoming a parent. You know, you can read about what it's like to be a parent. You can ask other people what it's like to be a parent. But when you have a kid yourself, there's that, whoa, you know, I wasn't expecting this. So Yeah, 6 years, but I'm sure for a lot of them that feels like, you know, maybe 2 years too many.
We're talking to Adam Bryant, author of the book, The Corner Office, and also journalist who writes the column, The Corner Office, for The New York Times. Adam, just give me your best guess, your prognostication here. Will the tenure be longer or shorter for CEOs as a result of this economic recession? I mean, are shareholders' demands going to be that much more impatient than they have been in the past?
Yeah, I think inevitably that investors are impatient, right? And they do want to see returns, and if somebody can't figure out how to do it, they might sub them out and put somebody else in. So
we'll have to see about that. Now, Adam, you talk about the five pillars, and you mentioned them and listed them for us before, but the fourth one on the list is a simple mindset. And when I was reading that, I agreed with you that CEOs have to boil things down to basically the simplest message they can push out to everyone in their organization. But in so doing, don't they run the risk of becoming, or at least appearing to be, too simplistic, too focused on too narrow a path for the company?
I don't think so, because it's all how you do it, right? It's if a CEO stands up and says, these are the three metrics, or these are the things that really matter to us, that the part of the reason they're paid so much money is to figure out what those right things are, and they emerge from, you know, what type of business it is. Is the company losing money, or is it a turnaround situation, or are they succeeding? That's what we pay them for, is to figure out that, you know, it's deceptively simple, right? It might just be three things, but the best ones capture a message that makes everybody think, okay, yes, I believe in that, and I understand why that's important, and I also understand why my job is important to contributing to those three goals. And so I think if you get it right, it can be a really powerful force, because I've watched some CEOs stand up and say, you know, here's the 10 things I've been thinking about, and you know after the third one that people are starting to think, what's for lunch? I've really come to believe that any message that's more than three, maybe four, you're kind of asking for trouble. There's that expression in golf, paralysis by analysis.
Right.
If you try and keep too many things in your head when you're swinging the golf club, it's going to be a mess. And I think that's true in the workplace as well.
All right, we're talking to Adam Bryant, author of the book, The Corner Office. And Adam, you interviewed over 70 CEOs for your book. One of them has a local connection here to Ventura County, and that's Kevin Shearer, the CEO of Amgen, which is based right here in Ventura County. How would you characterize Mr. Shearer, and what did you learn from interviewing him when you interviewed him for this book?
You know, he's a very thoughtful guy. He's got a lot of experience as a CEO, and I remember to this day very vividly some of the things he said. He set this scene for me where he was took over CEO and met with the senior staff, and he posed a few questions to them, and things like, what are the three things you'd like to make sure that we keep now that I'm CEO? What are the three things you would like to change? What is it that you would like me to do? What is it you're afraid I'm going to do? And is there anything else that I should know about? And he put those questions to, I think, more than 100 of his top executives when he became CEO. And he said through that he got just incredible insights. And that has stayed with me ever since he told me that, because I think it's a great way of finding out what people are really thinking.
Yeah, a fearless thing to do. I mean, that falls into your five categories. It shows his passionate curiosity, no question about that. It shows his fearlessness, because a lot of people wouldn't put themselves on the line to ask for the good, the bad, and the ugly the way that he did. And it helps him to develop his sense of team smarts as well. So talk to me, how did that help him develop team smarts for Amgen?
Well, he put these questions to 150 people, and said, let's meet and bring in written responses, and he took notes, and he was just looking for data. He said, I was trying to deeply listen, was the phrase he used when I talked to him, and he synthesized it all, and then he sort of spoke to the group and said, this is what you told me, and this is how I've thought about it, and so it makes people feel like their input was valued, not that he took everything that they said, but again, that, you know, I'm listening to you, and then people feel like they are being listened to, which, let's face it, doesn't often happen in life, right?
No, not in corporate America, that's for sure.
Exactly. So,
We're talking to Adam Bryant, author of the book, The Corner Office, Indispensable and Unexpected Lessons from CEOs and How to Lead and Succeed. So, Adam, what do you want readers to take away from reading The Corner Office?
I think that a lot of success is within our control. That I think a lot of people have looked at CEOs and said, oh, they're natural born leaders. That's, you know, they're born that way. They're just like that. And I think what I've learned through these interviews is that a lot of these qualities are things, you know, more like, I guess you'd put them in the camp of diet and exercise, that they're habits of mind and attitude and discipline. And I think it's helpful to know what separates people in organizations, and I think it's also helpful to know that we can all get better at them and that they're important whether you're in high school or a college grad or a senior vice president hoping to get the corner office.
All right. The old age-old nurture versus nature argument there. Adam, give my listeners just one tip that they can implement. I mean, this is the month of dads and grads in June here. So give, for a graduating high school student or a high school senior or a graduating college senior, give them one tip that they can help them land that job in the corner office.
Well, I would say, first off, don't overplan your career. I think a lot of people say, here's the 5-year plan, the 10-year plan. To hear these CEOs talk, life doesn't work that way. It's about serendipity. It's about chance meetings. So whatever job you're in, just try and get to know as many people, because that can literally change the arc of your career, if not your life.
Oh, great advice from Adam Bryant, author of the book, The Corner Office, Indispensable and Unexpected Lessons from CEOs on How to Lead and Succeed. Adam, you've got so much here that people may want to learn more about you, learn more about the book. Where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Sure. My personal website is adambryantbooks.com, all one word. And also, if you want to read the interviews, they're at nytimes.com. There's more than 100 of them there, and they're, you know, searchable by topic as well.
Oh, that is great. Adam, thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
I appreciate it, Billy. Thanks.